That depends on the product. Depends on, is the cell the product, or are you producing something with the cell? What's the scale you want to go to? What's the numbers of batches per month or year you want to run? I think this all needs to be calculated into what makes a good adherent cell expansion system. There's not the one solution that fits all.
Hey, smart scientists, developing a scalable and sustainable adherent cell culture process is quite an endeavor. And that's why I'm excited, because today I'm having a conversation with Joel Eichmann, who is the co-founder and managing director of Green Elephant. And we are talking about how can we make cell and gene therapies more affordable and more accessible so that a lot more people can benefit of these game-changing treatments. So if you're asking the question how you can develop such processes, you are in for a treat. Stay tuned. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohlman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenges you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics at market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. Welcome, Joel, to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. It's so good to have you on the show today.
Yeah, hi, David. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. It's a pure pleasure. Joel, share something that you believe about bioprocess development that most people disagree with.
I would say microcarriers are academic phenomenon that will never really make it into commercial scale manufacturing. I think there's always a better option, might be 2D, might be a fixed bed, might be spheroids, but I think microcarriers are an attempt to force biology into the status quo of technology, and I think we should build technology around the biology.
All right, so before we talk about our topic today, let's start talking about yourself. So how did you get started in biotech, and what moments and decisions brought you to your current role as a CEO?
I started studying biology, so classical biology with all the plants and animals and everything, and quickly developed, okay, I should go more into the molecular biology, and did a lot of genetics in a bachelor, but also joined the iGEM team at my university, which brought me to synthetic biology. So after this, I did a master in synthetic biology and really loved it. Still, I recognized I like more working on tools and technology that is leading to research results rather than the actual research results. So this is why I a bit switched my focus and the field and did a PhD in bioprocess engineering. And I was surprised how far these fields are away from each other. So bioprocess engineers have a very different focus and thinking than the biologists. At this stage, at the Bioprocessing Institute in Gießen, I first got in contact and awareness of the issue of scaling up adherent cell and adherent cell manufacturing at an industrial scale. It was one of the PhD topics I could have chosen with a very different approach than what we're doing today, but I liked the issue. And coming from a different field, it's easier to think outside the box than people having worked a decade or longer on these issues. So one day I have been on a water playground with my niece, and there was like this Archimedean screw tool toy. And that was the moment where I thought, that could be an approach for a bioreactor for adherent cells. And from there, we had prototypes, and I got Felix, my co-founder, in, and we've been working for 3 years on the business case, prototypes. We've been being in business plan competitions, won some money. This money paid the first prototypes, the first small series, the proof of concept. And then we got the first funding in, and we quit our industry jobs for a bit more than 2 years now. We're running Green Elephant. And that's where I am today. So bit of a travel through biology, engineering, had a couple of years in the industry in vaccine manufacturing. And I think this is a good combination to lead a biotool company.
Wow, what a story. And I love, Yoel, that you found your inspiration on the playground while playing. I mean, that's really exciting. So in your experience, well, you alluded a bit to it already, that there's a difference between R&D and what bioprocess engineers are doing. So I would be curious to know about what you think are the key challenges typically biotech scientists or engineers face in adherent cell culture process development.
I think not only for adherent cells, but I think in ATMP manufacturing in general, it's a bit exactly that issue I have recognized in the past years, that it's not the scientists themselves having the biggest challenges, but the organizations, because scientists from different fields have so different approaches, and they often work in silos. So you might have a basic research coming from academia, done by biologists, by maybe physiologists, but they have no idea how industrial manufacturing could look like, and it's not on their radar. And even in the industry, biologists just have such a focus on the biology that doesn't match with the need for thinking about the process from first place. And then when sometimes the treatment is ready, the biology is working, and then people trying to build a process around this. But you might be at a late stage already, you might have done some clinical trials, might have passed phase two already, and this is too late to get the bioprocess engineers in. So I think the biggest challenge is that organizations are missing a holistic approach, bringing together manufacturing and early stage researchers together, choosing the equipment early, choosing the assays early, that killing time to market, this is making processes difficult.
Smart biotech scientists, this is really a good reminder. We need to consider scale-up and process development very early on, and it's important to bring people from R&D and process development and manufacturing together as early as possible. Now, Yoel, you have this passion and mission to make cell and gene therapies more affordable. So how do we do that?
In general, if we look at the unit economics, at the costs of goods in cell and gene therapy, biggest piece of the cake is labor, and it's mostly manual labor. So I think we have the best chance to bring down pricing for cell and gene is reducing manual labor, getting automation in wherever possible, getting online monitoring PAT in wherever possible, because that is increasing the capabilities of a facility in orders of magnitude. And then again, you have economics of scale for your raw materials, for your equipment, for everything else that goes into and goes out. So once you get rid of the manual labor or reduce the manual labor, you save money in all other aspects in your cost of goods. And that's also the approach we're doing at Green Elephant.
And this sounds a lot to me a bit what has happened or is still happening in the biologics side of biotech. We moved from manual processes to automated processes to a lot of optimization. I would be curious to know a bit, why is this a challenge in adherent cell culture? And why is the adoption maybe a bit more difficult in that, I'd say, in the cell and gene therapy space? Or can we just leverage all the findings and all the technology from the more established biologics field?
I think one issue that has the cell and gene therapy field is that the batch size is much smaller. And especially in autologous therapies, you have sometimes one batch per patient. In biologics, it was possible to scale up to large batch sizes, getting a lot of doses out of one batch. So the pure number of doses per batch paid for the expensive overhead costs you had for QC, for manual work, for everything around a semi-automated or still quite manual process in biologics or vaccines. That's not possible for having small batches. So we need to find a way around to bring down the overhead costs, the QC costs, the manual labor costs, just to reduce the costs per dose.
Now let's shift gear a bit and focus more on the technical aspects of the very thing you're doing. You're focusing on adherent cell expansion systems. So first of all, why do we need these adherent cell culture systems before we talk about the specifics and how this works?
So first, that's the biology. Some cells prefer growing adherently. That's what cells are used to in the body. There are very few suspension cells in the human body. So if you want to keep the cells as near to their biology as possible, you need to mimic just the physiology of the cell tissue, of whatever it comes from. And that's why we need expansion systems for adherent cells.
And now, what are the qualities of a good adherent cell expansion system for cell and gene therapy?
That depends on the product. Depends on, is the cell the product, or are you producing something with the cell? What's the scale you want to go to? What's the numbers of batches per month or year you want to run? I think this all needs to be calculated into what makes a good adherent cell expansion system. There's not the one solution that fits all. And I think that's a bit of the issue as well, because maybe people are used to work with what they have learned in the past and what used for them in the past. And then often it's tried to transfer it to a new problem. Then it might not be the best solution just to use what worked in the past for something else.
Yeah, that's where also I see the challenge, because since every therapy is different, the number of patients is different, it's much more difficult to adopt a platform approach. I worked most of my career in the biologic space, where especially with MAPS, we have the luck, let's say like that, to have platforms. But I see this is definitely a challenge in the cell and gene therapy space. It's much more customized, much more specific. So can you give us, especially for those of our listeners who are not familiar with all the systems available, what different adherent cell expansion systems are currently available on the market?
That's pretty easy. It's not so many options you have. So obviously there is T-flasks. And if you just increase the surface area for cell growth in a T-flask, you end up with these DelSax stacks. So these multi-tray stacks. They are quite easy to adopt from a T-flask to a bigger system, but they come with some issues. You can't really automate them. You cannot bring sensors for PAT in, and they have a relatively large footprint, so scalability is still limited using these. Then there are fixed-bed bioreactors. They are seriously useful if your product is not the cell itself. It's impossible to get the cells out of a fixed-bed bioreactor. But for example, for viral vector manufacturing, this will probably almost always be the system of choice. Then there are hollow fiber bioreactors. They're a bit like a fixed-bed bioreactor, bit different for the cell physiology. Also, bit of a black box for the cells. There's no way of getting a microscope in. Same for the hollow, for the fixed-bed bioreactors. And then last but not least, there is stilting bioreactors with microcarriers. But as I said in the beginning, I think 2D system or a fixed bed or using a hollow fiber bioreactor is probably in almost all cases the better choice.
Now, developing a process, a robust process and a cost efficient process in the lab is great, but that's not sufficient. And we've alluded quickly to it already in the beginning, that sooner or later, we likely need to scale up. I think in many cases, if the number of patients is bigger, we need to scale up and we need to produce in larger quantities. So let's look at the scale up and the difficulties related to the scale up for a minute, because it is a tremendous challenge to scale up an adherent cell culture. It's much more complex than suspension culture. Can you give us a brief overview of why this is a much bigger challenge than with suspension cultures?
I think it's two main reasons. The one thing is people will always start in a T-flask, no matter if it's adherent or a suspension. But the suspension culture will be a little bit shaked, and then it's easier to be transferred into a more dynamic, more controlled environment. And you still get quite a high cell number out of a T-flask. And that brings me to the second thing, the surface-to-volume ratio, or the number of cells per volume you get out of a suspension compared to an adherent system is quite different. You get just less cells from a adherent process that has the same footprint compared to a suspension process. And this combination, that starting with a T-flask, 2D with adherent cells, at some stage you have to completely change the environment for the cells. And that's something you don't have that much when you start with suspension cells in a T-flask. So that's just a big difference.
And that's where the challenges come in, right? Because when you change the environment of the cell, that's where you might induce certain metabolite changes or some growth behaviors or whatever. I mean, that's one of the difficulties, right?
Yeah, growth behavior. There are even effects like of shear forces that can lead to differentiation of stem cells that is not wanted. There is, so bringing me back to the example with the microcarriers, they are such small structures that they are still curved in a way that also can affect differentiation of cells or the metabolism of a cell. Shear forces in general are a big thing and challenging for all kinds of cells, but again, for adherent cells. And then there's always the trade-off of getting oxygenation, having a dynamic system, and getting in shear forces. The other thing with adherent cells is going from a medium with serum to a serum-free or chemically defined media, because this is also something that is affecting the adherence of the cell, that is affecting the cells a bit stronger than in a suspension culture. So again, this is one of the points that needs to be addressed as early as possible and is affecting the whole cell.
Hey, smart biotech scientists. I hope you've gotten as much value out of this conversation with Joel Eichmann as I have. Joel Eichmann is the co-founder and managing director of Green Elephant. And in part two of our conversation, we're going to talk about the process development workflows and how to make them more seamless. And also we're touching upon the sustainability part of manufacturing. So stay tuned for part two. All right, smart scientists. That's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, let's continue to smarten up biotech.